What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys? Happy Thursday. You are listening to the Curls and Courage podcast, and I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen. If you are a new listener, if it's your first time, thank you for tuning in to my fitness and health-based podcast. The show is all about ways you can improve your mental and physical health, work towards your goals, and really just better your overall quality of life, which I know we all want. Today's episode is all about training, one of my favorite topics, specifically why you are not seeing progress in muscle growth. So listen, have you ever questioned yourself, are you doing the right thing in the gym? Are you choosing the right exercises? Are you training frequently enough? Are you training hard enough? Are you eating enough to actually stimulate a muscle growth response? In the next few minutes, I will be breaking down all these questions for you in detail and make sure you leave this episode feeling confident in your training routine. This episode is beneficial to beginner lifters if you're new to the gym, or if you have loads of experience like me and you just want to gain a new perspective, you want to ensure that you're doing everything in your power to optimize your gym routine and build lean, strong, beautiful, and bubbly muscle tissue. So before we break down why you maybe are not seeing progress in the way you feel you should relating to muscle gain in the gym, let me tell you why it's important to have skeletal muscle mass, because it is so, so vital. From a physical standpoint, building muscle and strength training on a regular basis, it makes your muscle cells stronger. It helps you slow down your aging process. It keeps your bones, your joints healthy, and it actually improves your body's ability to process foods and break down macronutrients, right? Protein, fats, and carbohydrates in the most efficient way. From a mental standpoint, because we all want to feel good with our mood, with our emotional health, having more muscularity improves your confidence and improves your self-esteem. The act of strength training, simply the process of lifting, picking things up and putting it back down in the gym, moving your body, getting blood flow, releases endorphins in your brain that actually are shown to relieve stress and improve your mood. And I can promise you, I get stressed sometimes and my mood is not always the best, although it may seem like it. Training is one thing that keeps me mentally sane. That's why I preach it so, so much on this podcast and to almost everyone that I meet. I'm always talking about the benefits of having muscle and training in the gym. And then looking at an aesthetic standpoint, let's be honest, we all want to look better, right? We all want to have bigger booties, my ladies out there. We all want to have a nice toned midsection. We all want to have a six pack on the beach, right? So you know the importance of having skeletal muscle mass. You know the importance of prioritizing your strength training. But let's say you go into the gym and you feel like you work hard, but you're just not seeing much progress. I see this way too often in my field of work. It may even be clients that I have. Kinsley, I'm training once a week. Why am I not seeing progress? Or it may be clients that have trained with someone else in the past or work out on their own in the past. And they come to me and they're like, hey, I feel like I've been being really consistent over this past year, but I'm not seeing much progress. I really want to see more muscularity. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing in the gym. I don't know if I'm doing the right things outside of the gym to work in relationship with what I am doing when I'm actually strength training. Please help me. How can you help me? And I am more than happy to help. From a personal experience standpoint, I've been there too. Part of the reason I have the knowledge I do now is, of course, from experience, from learning, from research, but also from really messing things up, from messing up my body, from messing up my mind, and from doing things incorrectly. So we've talked about this in some of my past podcast episodes. I've shared a couple of funny stories with you, but I used to train like an animal. I used to think I was eating healthy and I wasn't. And I honestly was trying hard. I was working out 7 days a week, but I was seeing no progress, and I was consistent. So I had to really rack my brain and ask some mentors and research and really gain some knowledge on, okay, how am I working so hard, but my body looks the absolute same, if not worse, than it has for the past, you know, 2-3 years. So you want to build muscle. We want to look better. We want to feel better. This is the first reason that you are not seeing the gains that you want to. Number one, you're not choosing the right exercise selection. Exercise selection is so, so important. How do you choose what exercises benefit your body best? It is completely custom to each individual and what your goals are, but you have to think about your body's movement patterns. You have to think about your body mechanics. Do you have any injuries? Do you have any limitations? What are your goals? Is your main focus right now to build your shoulders? Is your main focus right now to get a more developed chest? Is your main focus right now just to be more functional? It could be so many different things. So when I am determining, okay, what exercise should I do and what exercises should I program my clients, I ask myself one major question, and I want you guys to ask yourself the same thing. What are the most efficient movements to train this particular muscle group? And efficiency means maximizing my time, stimulating a response from a specific muscle group that I'm targeting, working around any aches, any pains, any injuries or limitations that I may have, and also the structure. How am I placing these workouts in a specific order in the correct way, along with a lot more things, right? Efficiency can mean many things, but these are the main ones I want you to remember. So how can we be efficient? Remember, it's not about just placing a barbell on your back and squatting as heavy as you can. It's more about being intentional and choosing, again, exercises that are actually going to benefit you. So we're going to go into one specific example that I get questioned on so much. This goes out to all my ladies out there. You don't need a BBL here in Miami, baby. You can just build those glutes on your own. So I want to break down what a structured glute workout looks like for me and what I would program for someone who tells me, Kinsley, I need a workout that I am aiming to grow my glutes. So I would start off with these three things. Number one, make sure you are hitting every part of your glute musculature. And this can apply to any muscle group. So you have your glute max, you have your glute med, and you have your glute minimus, right? So you have to make sure you're hitting every area. Number two, make sure you're hitting your glutes from multiple different angles. So you need to hit them vertically, horizontally, and laterally. You are training that muscle group also in a lengthened and a shortened position. And then number three, make sure you are choosing exercises that you actually feel in the right places, not the ones that are the most fun or the most unique or the ones you like to do. If you're not feeling the exercise properly in the targeted muscle group, you need to either learn how to do it, ask someone for help, or switch up the exercise, because again, not one exercise is the end all be all for every type of person. So I'll break down what a sample glute workout looks like for me and for, again, someone with that same question, hey, how can I grow my glutes? And of course, volume and intensity and rep scheme and weight is going to depend on the individual, but this is something what it would look like. For glutes, I'd probably start off with something that's going to be more of an activation set. After warming up, of course, very well and doing some mobility, I would get my glutes primed and ready for action. So I may start off with a superset, something like a seated hip abduction, something where I'm really opening up the hips and hitting that glute med, that glute minimus. Then I would go into a Bulgarian split squat, something that is going to lengthen that glute muscle, something that's going to really make my legs, my glutes fire. Then I would go into a compound exercise, number three. I always would recommend that you include a hip thrust. That's going to train your glute max, and I'd place it early on in the workout to make sure you can give a lot of energy, use a lot of resistance, use a lot of force production on this movement. Fourth thing, I'd go into a squat variation. A lot of people have this saying that squats do not grow your glutes, and I disagree. Squats are not the only thing you should be doing to grow your glutes, but it's a big compound exercise that if you know how to position your feet in a certain type of way, you're going to feel your glutes burning. And when you're at the bottom position of a squat, you are really, really activating that glute musculature. So I would choose a glute-focused stance. I may do some type of squat variation. It may be a sumo squat. It may be a wide stance hack squat with the feet high on the platform. It may even be a pendulum squat, again, with the same thing, a wide stance, the toes nice and high on the platform. And then I would go into another superset, probably a leg press. Again, a glute-focused stance, something that's compound. I'd place the feet high on the platform, maybe angle the toes out, or you could also go high and narrow, something that you're going to feel your glutes best, and then I would pair that with an RDL. An RDL is a movement that is a variation of a deadlift. Trains the hamstrings phenomenally, but it also hits the glutes, specifically where the hamstring meets the glute, which is an attachment site that you really want to make look good, especially in my division as a bikini competitor. But everyone wants a nice, good glute ham tie-in. And then I may finish up with a little bit of isolation work. I may do like a reverse hyperextension or a kickback or, you know, a donkey kick, something like that. Cable kickback, something that's going to really burn out my glutes and fatigue them well. So that's what a sample glute workout would look like in my book. And again, it's very custom to the individual, but it's something you can take with a grain of salt or you can apply it, because I promise that will get your glutes where you want to be. Moving on to number two. You're not progressing because you are not training frequently enough or intensely enough. So let me break down the two. With training frequency, there is a lot of research behind the fact of training each muscle group 2 times per week to see muscle development. I'm a huge advocate of this. I even think if you have a lagging body part, you may even shoot to train that muscle group 3 times per week if you are able to recover. For me, I train my legs so hard, my glutes so hard. I want them to grow, but I only hit them 2 times a week. I just don't feel like I can recover any more than that. But I know plenty of my girls out there who train glutes 3 times a week and they're fine. They're just careful about their structure and they monitor their recovery. And again, this could go for any muscle group. I would hit it at least 2 times a week. And then moving on to the intensity factor. If you want to build muscle density, it's all about that muscle intensity, baby. So you need to make sure you're training with enough intensity to see results. A lot of people go to the gym, but they don't really work. Now, the gym can be fun. It can be social. It can be a place to see your friends. But when you're there, you should be focused. You shouldn't be on your phone. You shouldn't be sidetracked. You should be engaged. You should be executing each rep with purpose. You should be challenging yourself every single time that you step foot in the gym. Now, my style as a trainer, everyone has a different style, I would say, but I'm not a trainer who's there to make you, oh, we're going to get in an easy workout and make you feel good. I want to make it enjoyable. I want to make you challenge yourself. I want to boost your mood mentally. But when we're there, again, we're there to work. So I like to train my clients. We're going to push some weight. We're going to train hard. We're going to train intensely. But it's not so much just about the resistance. It's about executing every rep with purpose rather than just going through the motions. We talked about this, but you need to be purposeful. You need to think about, okay, I am doing a bicep curl. How am I able to make my bicep be at the most peak contraction to make it burn, to make sure I'm not injuring myself, I'm not feeling my shoulders or my elbows, but I'm really stimulating a muscle response in my biceps. My biceps are burning, right? So how do you know if you're training intensely enough? Well, I would say it depends on where you are at in your fitness journey. When you leave the gym, when you get done training, you should feel tired. But you shouldn't feel exhausted. You should feel the muscles that you targeted, not any other areas. For example, if I'm doing a deadlift and I'm pulling some weight and I only feel my lower back, I probably know that I'm not doing the exercises right and I should probably either do another exercise or learn how to do the deadlift again. You should feel the muscles that you worked in that specific area. If I'm training my legs and I walk out of the gym and my back and my shoulder hurts, I did something incorrectly. Next, you should see noticeable changes in your body over an extended period of time, along with this tip and much more, right? So if you're not seeing any changes, then you know you're probably not training hard enough. Now, again, it depends on the certain individual. I would say if you are an experienced lifter, you need to be pushing certain sets to failure. Not every set, but you need to make sure you're training a couple sets to complete muscle failure. You need to be breathing heavy after you train. You need to be exuding a maximal amount of force. If you're a beginner, I would focus a little bit more on the technique and just executing each weight properly and then progressing from there. But again, you want to push yourself. You want to challenge yourself. You should feel very tired, but not like you're about to die every single time that you walk out of the gym. Because believe me, I've been there too. Moving on to number three. So why are you not making progress in seeing muscle gain? You're probably not eating enough. Not probably, you're not. You're not eating enough food, especially protein. Now, let's break down the concept of food as fuel in macro form. Our bodies need macronutrients, protein, fats, and carbs to build new muscle tissue. The most important macro for building muscle is no doubt protein. Protein sources like lean ground beef, protein sources like chicken breast, protein sources like egg whites, protein sources like turkey breast. Things like that are going to be super, super beneficial. Our muscles need nutrients in order to build, to grow, and repair tissue. It's the building blocks of our muscle cells. And then next you have carbohydrates. Simply put, it's our body's main energy source. If you're not eating enough carbohydrates, and of course, when you're trying to get leaner, you can't always eat a ton of carbs. But for the most part, if you are wanting to gain muscle, you're going to be eating a good bit more carbohydrates. You're going to use those carbs as fuel. They're going to bring glycogen into your muscle cell. They're going to make your workouts better. They're going to make you be able to push better to the best of your ability. When you're not eating enough, you're not going to see progress. And then thirdly, fats. A lot of people get this wrong. I would say when you are in a caloric surplus, which again is the best way to be when you're wanting to build muscle, some people cut out the fats a little bit too low. And I don't like this because I think if you're not including enough healthy fats in your diet, you know, such as avocados, salmon, nut butter, certain oils into your diet, it is more challenging for your body to produce enough hormones, especially testosterone, and that supports muscle growth. And especially just eating straight protein with nothing to help it digest, you know, especially like heavy shakes and protein bars, not as many whole foods, it can be hard on your digestive tract. Healthy fats are going to aid in your overall gut health and gut lining. Calories, be smart about that. I would track your calories. You need to be in a slight caloric surplus and make sure you're eating enough overall to see muscle gain. And I want to give a quick example of a client. If you're listening, I'm not going to say the name of this, but she knows who she is. I have an amazing client I'm working with online right now, and she kind of came to me in this very low calorie diet, you know, eating less than 1,000 calories a day. I see it way too many often with females. She's very small. She's not feeling very well. You know, she's not having a lot of energy. She's not feeling confident in her body. She's not sleeping the best, you know, things like that. But we've got her up to the point to where she's now almost doubled her caloric intake. It makes me so happy. She's hitting right over a gram of protein per pound of target body weight. She's feeling good. You know, we're seeing markers like she's lifting heavy, seeing markers like her energy is going up. Her sleep is great. You know, her stress is down, which are the markers we want to see. And she's eating over 200 grams of carbs and around 60 to 65 grams of fat. So this is just one slight example, but it's showing you that you have to eat enough in order to see progress. You have to eat enough, especially my ladies out there. Okay, moving on to number four, you are not practicing progressive overload. Whenever I'm doing client check-ins, when I have clients send me feedback of how their week is going, one of the questions I break down is, how are you using the concept of progressive overload in your training this week? Progressive overload means when you gradually increase the demand placed on your body during strength training over a period of time. So there are many ways to progressively overload. You may be slowing down the tempo, more time under tension. Maybe you are increasing your resistance. Maybe you're increasing your volume or improving your technique. It could be those things. This is vital if you want to see progress. You can't use the same 5-pound dumbbell for a year and expect to see progress. Eventually, you have to make a progression. You have to stimulate a muscle response. And there's common mistakes with this too. A lot of people think exercise variation is a way to progress. So if you think that, I'm breaking the stigma right now. Exercise variation is not a way to progress. A lot of people try to do the most unique, the most amazing, the most fun exercises. Sticking with the basics has got me far. It's got my clients far, and it will get you far too. Stick with the basics, stick with what you know, and practice that progressive overload again. Increase the weight, increase the frequency, increase the time under tension placed on that muscle, the intensity, things like that. And moving on to my last point, number five, this one is so crucial too, and one that I know I struggle with, and you probably do too. You're not getting enough rest. You're not taking care of your body. And this means maybe you're not taking enough rest days from the gym, or maybe you're just not sleeping enough. And believe me, I've been there on both. I struggle with rest. I have a hard time taking rest days. I always feel my worst mentally on those days. And I just have a hard time sleeping because I got a lot of shit on my mind. I have a lot of things I want to do, and I have a lot of anxiety, to be honest, that I try to manage. So my sleep isn't always the best, but I do what I can. And we've talked about sleep on this podcast. I could tell you a multitude of tips. That's not what this is about. I want to stress to you, do whatever in your power you can to get enough rest. Number one, sleep 7 to 9 hours a night. This is going to help your muscles be able to recover. And then as far as training days, make sure you're taking at least one day off of the gym. Really, I recommend two, especially if you're in an off season because you're pushing hard. You need to make sure you're giving your body enough time to rest and recover. I see this way too often. People training 7 days a week and sleeping 4 hours a night. Y'all, it's not a flex. I thought it used to be because I used to be in that same position, but it's extremely dumb and it's only hindering your progress. Think about this. When you're in the gym and you have a shoulder day, you're hitting your shoulders. What you're actually doing is making small micro tears in your muscle fibers that causes them to break down. A strenuous workout causes muscle breakdown. But when you rest, when you sleep, when you eat right, when you take time off of the gym to recover, your muscles build, they repair, and they actually get stronger and more developed. So prioritize your rest and make sure you take, again, at least 1 to 2 rest days a week. Let me summarize these 5 crucial points to where you're not seeing gains, you're not seeing progress. If you want to build lean, bubbly, round muscle tissue, look better, feel better, do these 5 things. Number 1, choose the right exercises that benefit your body well, that you know you can progress in. Number 2, train frequently and hard enough. Push your intensity, challenge yourself. Number 3, eat enough. Make sure your calories are where they should be. Eat enough macros with the protein, fats, and carbs, but especially eat enough protein because it is the building blocks of your muscle cells. 4, practice progressive overload. Make sure you are using that training principle. And then 5, make sure you are prioritizing your rest. Don't be stupid. Don't stay up till 3 a.m. and then try to get up and train at 7 the next day. Sleep enough and take rest days off of the gym. That's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, if it brought some value to you, if it made you smile, if it made you realize the importance of building muscle and how you can do it in the right way, please rate and review my podcast. It would mean so, so much to me. These rate and reviews, I read every single one of them. They always cheer me up. They always make me smile. They encourage me to keep going and putting out content for you. The best way to support me is to, again, rate the show or review the show on all major podcast platforms, follow the show, and send me a message, too, if you enjoyed it. You can send me a message at KinsleyMeeksFit@gmail.com, or you can send me a message on Instagram. Let me know what you would like for me to talk about next at @YoItsKinslow. That's YoItsKenslo. Or you can go through my business account. I post a lot of podcast content on there. It's Fitness for Fortitude, FITNESS, the number 4, and then Fortitude, FORTITUDE. That would be awesome. Again, I love you guys and really appreciate the support. If you are interested in one-on-one coaching, you want to make sure you're hitting your muscles in the right way. You need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help with nutrition or posing or training. You can also contact me in those same ways through the email or through Instagram direct message. I would love to help you. I truly am passionate about what I do. So before we end today's episode, I always like to end with a voice note, and that's what we're about to go into. So today's question is as follows. This person says, Kinsley, do you have any tips for getting over the mental hurdle of being in a growing and a bulking phase? Yes, I do. Being in a bulking / growing phase is extremely difficult for me mentally. It's something I still struggle with, to be honest, but I think that I've probably done the best with it last year than I ever have. I gained probably, I would say, 15 to 20 pounds after my last show, which was a good place for me to be. I was still healthy. I was sleeping better. I by no means was fat or anything like that. I thought I was at the time, but I wasn't. I still looked very strong. I was pushing very heavy, still had development in my muscles, you know, but I would say I struggled with it. So it gets better with time. But one thing that really helped me, or a couple of things I'll tell you. First thing, I set new goals. My goal wasn't, okay, how shredded can I get? How can I make my body look the leanest and the most conditioned? My goal was, what can my body do? How strong can I get? How can I move my body and how can I feel better? Because when you're eating super low and you're cutting, you look amazing and it's fun, but you feel like crap. So that would be a tip I have for you. Think about what your body can do. Number 2, I would say you have to reframe your mindset to stay focused on the ultimate goal. If you are wanting to build muscle, you can always lean down later, but you're going to gain a little bit of fat with it too. You can do it in a smart way, but you're going to gain a little bit of fat. You're not going to be at the lightest weight ever, right? Stay focused on the ultimate goal, which is to build muscle and to improve your body composition in the long run. You can't be focused on being shredded all the time because you're not going to progress in that way. You're never going to become a better athlete or a better competitor or a better lifestyle person or a better lifter in the gym or whatever your goals are. You want to get stronger. You got to make sure that you're reframing your mindset to what can my body do, and I'm staying focused on actually what I want to accomplish regardless of what I look like. And then one more thing I want to just mention, I say this a lot, but don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to Instagram or social media, because we all get in that endless cycle sometime. I hope this helped you and gave you a little bit of insight on the bulking and the off season. But if you're growing right now, I encourage you just to keep going, to do it in a smart way. Don't get lazy with it, but to know that you're where you should be and you got to be in a caloric surplus. It's the smartest way to really put on muscle tissue. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode. This was a fun one. Again, I really hope that it helped you in some type of way. Wishing you guys blessings and, of course, the best mental health, the best physical health, and proper strength training leading into next week. Have a great rest of your Thursday and tune in to next week's episode as well. It's going to be a good one. Talk to y'all soon.